Let us turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. This is a second study on the judgments that are still future. You will recall we did a study on the judgment seat of Christ last Sunday, and that would be study number one. Today we are going to study number two. For your information, those of you who missed out on study number one, the judgment seat of Christ, I'm glad to inform you that I have just started a new audio ministry on my website. In other words, you can hear that sermon all over again if you visit my website. So it's already there. What you need to do is just go to the website, click on the logo for audio ministry. There's a green logo there, and immediately, or less than 1 minute, you'll be able to hear me speaking again on the same subject. Likewise, this morning study will also be up there in 2 days' time. So if you visit the site, then if you miss out anything, it will be up there. And also for your information, the study that we did on the second advent in the Thessalonians, it will be there as well. But I have not put it up there yet because the last week I have been very busy. And when I put it up there this week, it will be a longer version. We only had 2 studies on the second advent in the Thessalonians, but on the website you are going to have 3 studies, more detailed study on the second advent in the Thessalonians. Right, now let's begin with our second study on Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Just to recollect, many people believe that there is only one general resurrection and one general judgment. Now, as I've told you, we do not believe that because we see a lot of differences. For example, we see, afterwards we are going to see, that there are a lot of differences between the judgment seat of Christ for sins and today's judgment at the Great White Throne for sinners. And if we have time to consider the judgment of the throne of glory in Matthew chapter 25, when the Lord would sit on that throne and judge the living nations, we will find a lot of differences again. And therefore, we just cannot believe that there is only one general resurrection and one general judgment. All right. More details you can find on the website regarding the comparison between the judgment at the Great White Throne and the judgment on the throne of His glory. All right. Now let's look at chapter 20. We have not much time, but we try to do our very best to consider as much as we can. Now, we consider a few things. Firstly, the designation, and then we shall go on to the designated. Then we shall go on to the design, and then we shall go on to the differences. All right. First of all, the destinies first, and then after that, the differences between certain terms that are used in Revelation chapter 20 to help us understand the passage better. All right. Firstly, the designation. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's go back to verse 11, the designation. What I mean is, how this judgment is named. This judgment is named by the judgment at the great white throne. As we read in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. The first thing we ask is, who is sitting on this throne? Now, if we look at the passage, the person sitting on the throne is not identified for us. However, we read in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So all these dead, small and great, they stand before God. Is God judging them? Well, I think here, it's not God who is judging them. God is there, as we have read, with regard to the judgment seat of Christ, Romans chapter 14 verse 10, you would recall, is translated the judgment seat of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, the judgment seat of Christ. God, Christ. And now we have the same scenario again. These people were standing before God. But was God the judge? I don't think so. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at, keeping your finger here, Acts 17 and verse 11, verse 31. Acts 17 and verse 31. And we read, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, concerning which he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. By the way, the notes, there's a typo error there. It should be 31 and not 1 or 3 there. Alright, it should be 31. Acts 17, 31. Here we read that God, one day, and God has appointed that day, when he will judge the world, but not by himself, by that man whom he has raised from the dead. Now, who is that man? The man, of course, if you read Romans chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, will identify for ourselves that this man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom God raised from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 5 and verse 22, John chapter 5, and verse 22, the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Therefore we see again, God does not judge, but God has committed judgment to the Son. And therefore I believe that the one sitting on the throne would be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, of course, will be there. And he will judge. It's important he is there to judge, because the sins that are committed will be against him, and he will be the best judge. Right. So, the designation. Now we come on to the designated. Let us discuss the time, the designated period. Let's also discuss the place, the designated place, the designated people who will be there, and the designated punishment. Let's begin with the designated period, or the time. When will this take place? Verse 11 says very clearly, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place for them. Now, definitely then, it will happen at the time when the heavens and the earth had fled away, meaning they were destroyed. A new heaven and a new earth would come about. It would come at the time when the heavens and the earth would be destroyed. Now this is confirmed for us in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, where we read, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, and the works that are in it, shall be burned up. So, there is no doubt about it. The heavens, not least plural, the heavens will take in also the first heaven and the second heaven. The first heaven would be the atmospheric heaven that we see around us. The second heaven would be the place where Satan and his demons and all the spiritual powers will be there. And that's where he is the prince of the power of the air. And all these will be destroyed. And to confirm that there is a destruction, a complete destruction of the old heavens and the old earth, we find that in chapter 21 of Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, apparently, the old earth and the old heavens had all passed away, destroyed, burnt up, as we read in 2 Peter. Now, I am stressing this so much because there are some people who believe that the old earth and the old heaven, they were not destroyed, but they were renovated. They were renovated. But the very fact that we are told here that there was no more sea, a new heaven and a new earth had come about, and there was no more sea, would tell us that it was not a renovation. That the seas, the Mediterranean Sea, and then Atlantic Sea, Arctic Sea, all will not be there anymore. There will be no more sea. It will be a complete creation. A new heaven and a new earth will come about. Okay? So that will be at that time. Then there's another clue as to the time when the judgment at the Great White Throne will take place. Now, if you take the context, verse 11 follows verses 1 to 10 of Revelation chapter 20. And Revelation verses 1 to 10 tell us of the millennium period, 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth. So, let me just give you a quick recapitulation of what we studied in Thessalonians. You will remember that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for the church, all those who are dead in Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will be raised up. All those who are not in Christ will continue to be in the grave. Only those who are in Christ will be raised up. And then as they are raised up, they will be taken up, caught up, as the words used, to heaven. While in the process of this thing being happened, and of course their bodies will be transformed for this thing to happen, those of us who are living at that time will also have our body transformed, and we shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so we go up to be with the Lord in the air and in heaven. What happens then? And that's where we have the judgment seat of Christ, where all the believers will stand before the Lord, and he will judge us for our works. And it will be a judgment of service, not of sin, because sin has been judged with, has been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we shall be judged for our service unto the Lord, for our stewardship of the gifts that God has given us. But while this judgment takes place in heaven, what happens on earth? On earth there will be about 7 years of great tribulation, and that's where the Jews will be judged. The Jews will go through a great period of 7 years of great tribulation, and according to Zechariah chapter 13, the tribulation will be so great that only one third, the remnant, will come out of that tribulation. And at the end, God again will submit them to a judgment, judgment of the Jews. And that is described for us in Ezekiel chapter 20. And whilst this happens at the end of the great tribulation, there will also be another judgment for the Gentiles, because the Gentiles also will go through the great tribulation, and the Gentiles will be judged. And this is where Matthew chapter 25 comes in, where the Lord will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the Gentile nations will come before him, and he will divide the nations according to the sheep, or goats. Those, and what is the sentence of judgment? According to how they treated the Jews when they were going through the great tribulation. And so we find that at the end of it all, if you want to find out, in Matthew chapter 25, the last verse, all those who are goats will be thrown into everlasting punishment. And therefore, Jews after their judgment, Gentiles after their judgment, will then go into the millennium, 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And we will find that at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, all people who are there will be righteous. But over the period of 1,000 years, we find that many of them will give birth to children, and these children grow up without the knowledge of the Lord perhaps, and we find that at the end of the 1,000 years, there will be a great rebellion. Revelation chapter 20. To see the context of the time of the great, the judgment at the great white throne. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are ended, all right, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And then, verse 10, we find that the devil, Satan, will deceive many, and then after that, he will be thrown into the lake of fire, where the prophet and the beast have been thrown in. That will be hell. That will be hell. The first occupants of hell would be the beast and the false prophet. Chapter 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet, who wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The lake of fire will be hell. And they would be the first occupants of hell. The prophet, the false prophet, and the beast. The beast will be Antichrist, the one that we studied in Second Thessalonians, the son of perdition, the man of sin. These two will be the first to be thrown into the lake of fire. And then after 1,000 years, we find that Satan himself will be thrown into the lake of fire in hell. And after this had happened, then would all the heavens and the earth be burnt up, and then the judgment at the great white throne will take place. So this is the scenario, the period, the designated period when it will take place. After the millennium and after the heavens and the earth have been burnt up. The next thing we would like to discuss will be the designated place. Where? Is it in heaven or on earth? Well, the heavens and the earth having been burnt up, they have fled away, then, of course, it will be space. It will be space. And it needs to be space because no earth can contain the millions and the trillions and the quadrillions, whatever it may be number, I cannot say, of all those people who have died, who are dead. The dead will be raised from the time of Adam right up to the very end of the millennium, right up to the time when this judgment at the great white throne will take place. All the millions and myriads of people who have died during that time will be raised, and they will face the judgment at the great white throne. So you need to be space. No earth can ever contain them. Right. Next one, the designated people. Who were the people who would be facing that judgment? All right. It's significant that if you read the passage, you find it's always mentioned the dead, the dead, the dead, four times. Please look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, no matter who they are. Status doesn't count. Wealth doesn't count. Why? Because the very fact it says the dead would mean that they have still to account for their sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we are told that we who are dead in trespasses and sins. So all those who are dead will be the spiritually dead. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, they will all have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ has to be the judge. I have died for you. I have given my life for you. But you have refused me. Now you account for your own sins. Because I have not borne your sins. Your sins will find you out, and therefore they will be judged. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins. But it goes beyond that. It's not only referring to the spiritual dead, but also the physical dead. All those who have died over the years, right from Adam, right up to the time of the great judgment under the great white throne. All these people who have died. Remember, no resurrection had taken place. Even during the rapture, all those who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, only they will be raptured and will be resurrected and raptured. But those who have not believed will remain in the grave. And now is the time for them to be resurrected. And they will be raised the dead, they will have to stand at the judgment of the great white throne. All right, please read verse 12 again, the second part. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so the dead, those spiritually dead, physically dead, all over all these years, they will stand at this judgment, and they will be judged according to their works. It will be a judgment of works. Now, let us not mistaken this with the judgment seat of Christ. Because the judgment seat of Christ is also a judgment on works, believers' works. Here also is also on works and believers' works. But there's tremendous difference between the works of these two groups. How and why? In the first case, it is not a judgment of works with regard to sins. Because our sins have been judged already. The works have been are regarded or are related to the service that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. How faithful we have been. That will be at the judgment seat of Christ. But here, the works are the works of sin and unrighteousness, which have never been forgiven yet, because these people have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the sins to be borne by the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as their substitute Savior. No, so their sins had not been redeemed. Their works will point to their sins. So the books of works will be opened, and they will be convicted out of the books because of their sins. Let's go on from there. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead. What does that mean? The sea gave up the dead. And you see, many of us think that when a person, perhaps, when he dies in the sea, well, there's no possibility of him being raised again, because his body will fall into the sea, and then the fish will eat up everything there, nothing will remain. So there you are, saved. You won't be resurrected. No possibility of a judgment. The sea will give up the dead. The sea will give up the dead. And it also reflects on the idea that not only the sea will give up the dead, all those who are dead in the sea, on land, in the air, everywhere, all the dead in all these spheres will be raised up. The sea will give up the dead. In other words, there will be a resurrection of the bodies. All the bodies will be resurrected and will be delivered up. Alright? So, the bodies will be there. Just as in the case of Christians, the Christians who die in the sea, the Christians who die in the air or on land, they will also have their bodies restored and resurrected and transformed. And so will the unbelievers. Their bodies will also be given up by all these places where they have died. Go on from there. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. What do death and Hades give up? Who were there? The very fact that it says death means everything that dies will be given up, will be delivered up. Hades. Who is in Hades? The sea will give up the physical bodies. The physical bodies of the person for resurrection. Hades and death will give up the spirits and the soul. You see, when a person dies, the body goes to the grave, or goes to the sea, or goes or to whatever, to ashes, become ashes, dust unto dust. But the spirit and the soul, they will go to Hades. They will go to Hades, waiting for this second resurrection, when they will be raised to face judgment. And so they will be Hades. They will be in Hades. And Hades will give up the spirit and the soul. The spirit and the soul will join up with the bodies, and together, body and soul, they will be facing the judgment at the great white throne. There's no escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so much a salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 asks us. Okay, let's go on from there. Verse 13. So, death and Hades delivered up the dead will be the spirits and the souls that were in them, and they will judge every man according to their works. And all these are known as the second death. Second death. What is the first death? The first death is the physical death that we die with. When we grow old, we die. That is the physical death. All right? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And they will, those people who die, they will remain in the grave. Or the spirit and the soul will go to Hades. In the Old Testament, they will go to Sheol. Sheol is the equivalent of Hades, which is a Greek word in the New Testament. And as an illustration, you will recall the story told by the Lord Jesus Christ of Lazarus and the rich man. When Lazarus and the rich man died, we read that Lazarus went up into the Abraham's bosom, whereas the rich man went to Hades. And there was a gulf fixed between the two, so that no one can cross over to the other. Alright, more about this as we come to the differences later on, as I explain the terms. But what I'm going to say here is just this, that the penalty of those who are judged will be the second death, cast into the lake of fire. Alright, and so we finish the designated period, the designated place in space, the designated people, those who are dead, unbelievers. Please note that in the whole of the passage, there's no mention even of the word living. No living will be there. Living by way of those people who are physically alive, because they won't be there. Why do I say that? You see, after the millennium, the heaven and the earth will be burnt up. And when the heavens and the earth burnt up, all those who are living on the earth will also be burnt up. There will not be any living there. And those who are burnt up during that time, if they have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they will go into Hades. And when the time comes for the judgment, Hades will deliver up the dead. And then this dead will face the judgment at the great white throne. So no living will be there. And in the same aspect, no living with regard to those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. There's no one living there. Those who have eternal life, they won't be there. Why? Because those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ would have taken part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? I shall explain afterwards. All of these, even the church that we have studied, will already have been raptured. So the church will not be there. And therefore, the designated people are not believers, but completely 100% unbelievers. All of them. Now the designated penalty. And because they are all unbelievers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not believe in him, all, without exception, will be cast into the lake of fire. This is a very, very serious and solemn reality to all of us. It means that those of us whose family members and whose friends and so on have not believed, they will be facing this kind of judgment. All, it says there in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody. That is the penalty, the designated penalty. Okay, then we ask ourselves then, how are they judged so that they will be cast into the lake of fire? Lake of fire will be held. Well, if we look back in verse 10, it says that the books will be opened. There will be two types of books. The books of works, and it says that another book of life. The books of works and another books of life. Alright, what are these books of works, and what is this book of life? Books of works, I don't think I have need to explain that, because it's very simple. It refers to a book that, and not only a book, but many books, as against the book of life. All the books, because of the many, many multitudes and myriads of people whose works, whose names will be there, their works will convict them of their sin. And when their works convict them of their sin, then they have no other excuse, but they have got to face the penalty. Remember, if you break one commandment, that is enough to break the whole commandment and to be condemned a person into everlasting hellfire. And so that will go to hell. Then that is the book of life. What is this book of life? This book of life will contain the names of those who are saved. Now, for example, let's take one or two verses. Let's look at chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 8. 17 and verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, because he is the son of perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not. So the book of life will contain all those whose names are not written, will contain all those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. During the Great Tribulation, those whose names are not written in the book of life, they will follow the son of perdition, the beast, Antichrist, and they will be punished. And therefore, we find that the book of life is only for those who are saved. Chapter 20. Verse 27. And there shall in no way enter into it anything that defileth, neither he that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those in the Lamb's book of life can ever go into heaven. Please note, even you tell a lie, as it says there in verse 27, you are not allowed to go into heaven because it is sin. And sin must be dealt with. It's a very serious thing. And so that is the final destiny of all those who will be judged. All right. With that, I will finish the judgment at the great white throne. Now, let me explain certain terms, in fact, there, that need some clarification. Firstly, there is this hell, Hades, and Sheol, and lake of fire. Now, if you use the King James Bible, unfortunately, the word Hades is translated hell. It is not. It is Hades. And what is Hades? Hades is the place of the departed dead. Any person who dies today will go to Hades. Hades in the underworld. In the Old Testament, they will go to Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew equivalent. And so, Hades is a Greek equivalent of the word in the Old Testament, Sheol. So, Hades and Sheol. All people who have died, their spirits and souls will be in Hades, if in the New Testament, in Sheol, if in the Old Testament. And they will be waiting there until the second resurrection. The bodies would have been disintegrated, dust unto dust. But the time will come when the sea, the land, the air, wherever the body, the dead body may be, will then be restored and resurrected, and the spirits and souls from Hades or Sheol will then join up with the bodies, and then they will face the judgment. All right? So that will be Hades and Sheol. Now, it is believed that there's another thing in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, when we read the story of Lazarus and the rich man, there is also the mention of Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is regarded as paradise. Paradise. Okay. Now it is believed that before the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in Sheol, there will be two compartments. There will be Sheol, the compartment for the unbelievers. Then there will be paradise, the compartment for Abraham and all the Old Testament saints who were righteous. They will be in paradise. And that's why we read in the story in Luke chapter 16, when the rich man died, he went to Hades. Lazarus, when he died, he went into Abraham's bosom. Now, this would be paradise at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was still living. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, one of the thieves asked him, "Lord, remember me when you go into paradise." And the Lord Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. Now, today could not be heaven, because the Lord Jesus Christ died and he did not go to heaven. He could have gone into the underworld. And that's what many Bible scholars believe, that the 3 days that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the earth, he went into the underworld. He went to Sheol. He went to proclaim his victory over death. And to, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, perhaps it's good for us to read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Ephesians 4 verse 8, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So the Lord Jesus Christ went into the lower parts, proclaimed his victory, and then it's believed that he took paradise up into heaven. So that today, paradise is no more in Sheol, paradise is now in heaven. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ went to paradise in Sheol, and the thief would be there because he died. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, would take paradise up into heaven and together with the thief. And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul was in a trance and in a vision, he said that he was caught up into the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words and so on. He was in paradise now, up there in heaven. So paradise is already in heaven. And in Revelation 21 we read that paradise, Revelation chapter 2, we read that paradise is already in heaven. And today, when we believe, when we die, then we shall go to paradise. Alright? Where the Lord is. So, I hope you are clear now with regard to hell, Hades, paradise. Then we come on to the next thing, the lake of fire and hell. Alright, hell. What is hell? Now we have to be careful, especially the King James Version. King James Version translates two Greek words as hell. One is Hades, which should not be translated as hell, and the other one is Gehenna. Gehenna. Now Gehenna is actually the word for hell. What is Gehenna? Gehenna actually refers to the place, a place near Jerusalem where they burn rubbish. And all the time the rubbish is burnt and the fire is there all the time. And that's why it's a very apt picture of hell, because hell is a place where the fire keeps on burning. There is no end to it. When a person goes to hell, does he ever end? Will he ever end his suffering? In Hades, as we read in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was already in torment. In hell, it will be worse because he will be in eternal punishment. Now let's see what happens in hell. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark 8. Verse 44. Chapter 9. Sorry, Mark 9. Verse 43. Mark 9, 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee than to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into Gehenna, that's hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter lame into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Please note the emphasis and the repetition. Verse 47. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. it's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, and so on. Now, what does that mean? That's why the person, soul and the spirit that go into hell will never end the suffering, because they are preserved by salt. Remember, salt preserves from corruption. And as it were, these bodies, these spirits, will be preserved by salt from corruption. They will never decay, and they will suffer in torment because the fire quenches not. This is a very serious challenge to all, and that's why Christians today are prepared to go out into the mission fields to preach the gospel to all the thousands and millions who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they have not heard the gospel, then they will be in this kind of situation. It's a very dangerous, it is a very, very tormenting situation to be in. It's a very serious and solemn thing. The Lord has warned us again and again. Alright, so that's hell, paradise. Now, let's come on to the, go back to the second death, verse 14. Second death implies a first death. As I said, first death will be the time when we all die. That is the first death. Then the spirit and the soul will go to Hades. Wait. And then the second death is the time when Hades and death will give up the dead, and then they will face the judgment. That is the second death. A first death and a second death will also refer, will also imply a resurrection. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so we find that those who take part in the first resurrection, they will not have, they will not suffer or come under the power of the second death. Second death has no power over those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have taken part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? The first resurrection is not one event. The first resurrection is a series of events beginning from the first resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection. Secondly, it also refers to those who rose together with Christ when he rose again from the dead. Those who rose again when Christ rose again. A few of them. Alright? That resurrection. After that, there will be the rapture of the church, when all those who are Christians will be resurrected and they will be raptured up into heaven. That will be the third. Fourth one, there will be those who will die and who will be resurrected in the great tribulation. You read about them in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Also chapter 14 and verse, chapter 7 and verse 14, where all those who have died during the great tribulation would have been raised. And so all these people, together with those who have died during the millennium and who are resurrected, all these then will form the first resurrection. And then they are the resurrection of the just. And so they will be in heaven. The second resurrection will be the time when the sea will give up the dead, Hades and death will give up the dead. That will be the second resurrection, and that will lead on to the judgment at the great white throne, and then ultimately end in the second death. So I hope you see the differences now. Lastly, I have got to explain the books. Now here is mentioned about the books. The book of works I need not explain. But then there is the book of life. The book of life I already explained, and there are references there in my notes to indicate that the book of life is a book for all those who are saved. Then there is also the book of the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life will be those whose names are written there, who have been washed by the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. And last one, the book of the living. The book of the living. What is this book of the living? We have it mentioned in Psalm. Let's look at it as we close. Psalm chapter 69. Psalm 69. And verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Now, apparently, those names written in the book of the living can be erased, can be blotted out. Whereas the book of life, the names that are written there, cannot be blotted out. If you read Revelation chapter 3, it cannot be erased. Now, this is also confirmed for us in Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. And verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, here in Exodus and in Psalms, we have a book whose names can be blotted out. And this is called the Book of the Living. What is this Book of the Living? Apparently, this Book of the Living consists of names of all people born into this world. From the very beginning, born into this world. And as a person dies, the name is blotted out. The name is blotted out. Or as a person perhaps who has not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the name is blotted out. And so, it's just like the register in the National Registration Board or Department, where everyone who is born into this world must register. And after a person has died, you must report to the registration department, and then your name is blotted out because you have died. And that will be the Book of the Living. Do not get it confused with the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, you may say that if your name is written in the Book of Life, it can be blotted out, which is not true. So you have got to know the difference between them. And with that, I have got to stop. If you are interested in finding out more about the differences between the judgment of the throne of His glory when the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne and then separates the nations, the Gentile nations, into sheep and goats, you can find it on my website, the full notes, alright? Because we have no time to discuss that. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time we have spent in Thy presence. Thank You, Lord, too, for a solemn reminder to each one of us of that scene at the judgments of the great white throne, when sinners will be judged and none will escape, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Lord, we do pray at this time for our friends, for our family members, for our relatives. Lord, we do realize that while yet there is time, help us to fulfill that which is for which we have been left in this world, that we may be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. Lord, we do pray that we have mercy and compassion on them, and that would stretch out thy hand, that thou would save them, so that they will be saved from such kind of eternal and dreadful punishment. Hear us, Lord, as we commit ourselves to thee and our dear ones to thee, that thou would preserve us. We ask all these things, Lord, as we commit ourselves to thee for the rest of this day, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.